Out of curiosity, how many of you either are or were in your high school marching band? Anyone? Okay, all right, we've got quite a bit. We should form an Edgebrook marching band. Any trumpeters? Carolyn, were you a trumpeter? All right, you and I both. I ask because as a former high school marching band trumpeter, when I think of the book of Joshua, my mind goes straight to Jericho, right? I mean, you got the fortified walls of the city and the Israelites marching around and the trumpet blasts and those walls come a-tumbling down. Provides for some great imagery, whether you're a trumpeter or not. It is a story of God's faithfulness to Israel. It's a story of Israel's quest to be faithful to God. You see, the promised land was not theirs just to step into and peacefully occupy. The promised land had already long been occupied and was full of inhabitants deeply rooted there. If the Israelites were truly going to take possession of the promised land, they were going to have to do battle. And this is where, for some of us, the book of Joshua can be a little hard to read. There is so much annihilation and war and bloodshed, and our God of love is not only allowing it, but he's leading it. It's one of the most difficult parts of the Bible for some of us. It was actually a topic in our staff meeting the other day, and Pastor Greg had some insightful words, as he often does. He said something to the effect, and I hope I get this right, that the book of Joshua illustrates how important it was to have a clean slate, or a purging, if you will, for where God was going to establish his people. That this was a new day in this chosen place where they were to worship and follow the one true God. And in order for a pure and firm foundation to be laid, any other practice, any other worship of other gods, the household gods, the idols, the foreign gods, it had to be done away with, obliterated. And it was not going to be easy. The land was full of mighty and established people groups with greater armies and better weapons. I mean, can you imagine? The Israelites had come so far, they had gone through so much, and they were finally there. And now to be faced with this. The Lord tells Joshua three times in the first chapter of Joshua to be strong and courageous. He tells him to be strong and courageous because he will not leave him or forsake him as he leads the Israelites into the promised land. The Lord tells him to be strong and courageous as he follows the laws that Moses gave him. And the Lord tells him to be strong and courageous, to not be terrified, do not be discouraged, he says, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And they were going into some scary places. Can you imagine facing those walls of Jericho? How in the world? Be strong and courageous. Those walls that surrounded the city of Jericho were in the way. They stood between God's people and what God had promised them. They stood between the new start. They sullied the ground on which God wanted to establish for his people. They needed to come down. The Israelites knew it would take an act of God. But not just an act of God. One that they needed to faithfully and fully participate in. One that required them to be led, to follow instruction, to act, and to be strong and courageous. I'm hoping you were able to read this scripture this week. And if you did, I don't know about you, but as I was reading this part of scripture, my focus shifted from the marching and the trumpets to the wall that they were facing, to what was standing between them and God's promises to them. What are the walls that we are facing? What is standing between us and God's promises to us? What are the things that are sullying the ground and preventing God to firmly be established in us and us in God. It never ceases to amaze me how God intervenes in our lives and how often it happens in those moments when we are willing to hand over an honest piece of our soul. As I was praying over this scripture and allowing some self-examination to creep in, I received a text from a friend. And this friend will often send me texts as she comes across quotes that speak to her, and very often they speak to me too, and this one was no exception. The text was simply a quote taken from a book by Timothy J. Keller called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. And it said this. It said, "True gospel humility means I stop connecting every experience and every conversation with myself. In fact, I stop thinking about myself. It's the freedom of self-forgetfulness, the blessed rest that only self-forgetfulness can bring." And I read that and I thought, oh no, I think I just stumbled into one of my walls. The sinking realization that the biggest obstacle between me and God's promises was me. It's so easy to be self-absorbed. I mean, our very culture cultivates it. And we easily fall prey. But wait a minute, if we're being consistent in using the Joshua parallel, does that mean I am to destroy me? Well, in some ways, yes. I think it's exactly what Paul was getting at in the book of Philippians when he talks about imitating the humility of Christ, who even though he was God, emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, self-forgetfulness. When we stop being obsessed with ourselves, our issues, our fears, our wants, our insecurities, our stuff, and we seek to serve God through serving others, really serving them, not for our own benefit or to be admired by others, but out of sheer love and gratitude for what God has done for us, then that wall, no matter how fortified, no matter how tall, no matter how long it has been there, will come tumbling down. Amen. This is one of my walls. Pretty big one, but probably not the only one. I don't know what your walls are. Maybe they're similar. You may not know what your walls are. Remember, before the Israelites crossed over into the promised land, they sent out spies. These were members of the community who were asked to survey the land and bring back an opinion of what some of those obstacles might be. In our lives, those spies might be in the form of a good friend, a spouse, a pastor, a therapist, a teacher, someone we can be strong and courageous enough to ask for honest feedback and then listen to it. Someone who we know understands what it means to truly serve for the benefit of the kingdom. And as these obstacles or walls are made known, we pray for and wait for instruction. And God can be pretty explicit when he instructs us, as he was with Jericho. I mean, you know, you had the seven priests and the seven trumpets and in front of the ark marching around the walls 7 days. And on the seventh day, they watched seven. I mean, it was very explicit instructions. That's not always how God instructs us. But sometimes, that's when we listen and we discern and others discern with us. And then we tackle them as God leads. Now, the good news here was that the Israelites were not instructed to fight all of their battles at once. Praise the Lord. It was as God led. And it wasn't just Joshua fighting. They fought together with strength and courage, knowing that God was with them wherever they went, no matter how tall the wall, or how long it had been there, or how scary the army, or how deep the valley. And then in the middle of their fighting, not quite before they had won all the battles, Joshua pauses to take stock of what they were fighting for. In Joshua 24, he addresses the Israelites saying, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And what he was saying is, we aren't messing around here. We've been fighting all this time to purge this land of any other types of worship. So you decide who it is you're going to serve. Are you ready to truly take possession and live into God's promises? Are we ready to truly take possession and live into God's promises? Who is it that we are going to serve? Is it ourselves? Is it the gods of this world? And man, there are a lot of enticing ones to choose from. Or is it the Lord? And if it's the Lord, what are the walls that need to come down? We're going to take some time to pray as a body. Up front, you see this wall. And maybe you can't see it with the stand in the way. But it's a wall that's been built by bricks that were decorated by the Kingdom's kids. And each brick is adorned with the words from Joshua that say, "Be strong and courageous," reminding us that we need not be afraid because God is with us wherever we go. And our prayers this morning will be silent ones of self-examination, asking God to show us the walls, the obstacles that are standing in the way of God's promises in our lives as individuals and in our lives as a church. Charlotte's going to play some soft music as we pray. And if you feel led, please come forward and take a brick. And take it with you. And keep it in a place where you can see it often. You can see there's all different sizes, so choose the one that's going to work best for you. And as you're taking a brick, if the wall falls down, that's okay. It's kind of the point. So use it not only as a reminder, but as a prayer prompt and a charge as we continuously choose who it is that we're going to serve. And then at the end, we'll close together with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray.